All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, we're recording this on Halloween.
We are. This is a double feature.
Double feature. Creature feature. I have gone to my friend's kids and said, what Halloween candy do you not like? Mm. And they've dumped all their remainders out. And I have here a classic left behind, the Tootsie Pop.
Oh, huh. I go crazy for a Tootsie Pop.
You're crazy for a Tootsie Pop? You want a sucker until then you're having like a weird fudge?
Yeah.
Partway through? Like a Tootsie Pop that for all the world tastes kind of sour at a certain mm-hmm. point, a little bit like aged steak. like aged meat.
I wasn't aware. Okay, so like go crazy for a Tootsie Pop. That's just me being contradictory. Okay. I have never seen a Tootsie Roll Pop as a left behind. I don't see it as like a, you know, like a bit of honey or one of those like whole strawberry things. Right.
I will go for a bit of honey. In my world, hard candies are left behinds.
Okay.
Like suckers, okay. Anything that's like a hard candy. Even Jolly Ranchers, it tended to be the dregs.
Not even a blow pop?
Even a blow pop. Even though that does make more sense. Like you might want gum after you have a sucker. The idea of just ending it with like a piece of hard fudge is very strange to me. So anywho, I don't know if you had these legends, but did you have the legends of if you'd find certain objects on a Tootsie Pop?
The big one, the legend that we had locally here was that if you got the indigenous warrior, yes. we didn't use that term, but I'm going to use that term now, aiming his bow and arrow at a star, that you mm-hmm. could turn that in at any place that sold Tootsie Pops for a free Tootsie Pop.
That is very similar to the legends we had, even though it eventually got more outlandish, like it was more of a Willy Wonka thing. I don't know where you're supposed to redeem these wrappers, you know, just get a Hogwarts letter. Like I don't know.
You just put them under your pillow, and then the gas station attendant comes.
Comes and robs your house. comes and does a family annihilation on you.
Yeah. It's the purge. I've definitely redeemed one of those for a free Tootsie Roll Pop, like at a gas station, which I assume was just a very kindly and patient clerk taking mercy on me and just saying, it's a Tootsie Roll Pop. The shrinkage on this is probably,
he's not going to go redeem that down at the factory. You know, he's going to mail in a big sack of those. Like, here's our, you know, children's letters to Santa of Tootsie Roll Pops.
Sending the magazine covers back to get credit for the.
Since it's Halloween candy, people stick pieces of metal in it. We all know that. So I'm going to run a magnet over these bad candies and see if we find any metal in there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got this machine over here for fentanyl, detecting fentanyl, which is just a policeman.
Hey, officer.
Hi, officer. If he starts convulsing, that piece of candy has fentanyl in it.
Stay, keep your nose clean.
All right, sir. We're running it over here. No metal, but look, if you see, there's a tin star, not picked up by a magnet, on this blow pop.
Oh.
Somebody stuck some metal on this this Tootsie Pop, rather.
Okay.
We can redeem this for a free...
For a free SNES copy of Tin Star.
Tin Star. You've never heard of it. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to After Suffering, your number one source for combat data.
This week, it's a Gary pick. We're talking about Tin Star, an SNES Super Scope game.
Yes. I pulled this totally out of my ass. I forgot it was my pick. Mm-hmm. And woke up and you sent me a message like, hey, ready for your pick? And I'm like, fuck. And then I Googled SNES games where you could use the mouse.
Okay.
Sometimes looking at peripherals will get you to obscure shit.
Yes. Yeah.
And this time it did. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was also a Super Scope game. It ended up based on the mouse. And then for certain, I was like, oh, this will be great because this is probably a British cartoon that we can spend a half hour making fun of. And then the British folk in our Patreon will yell at us. But it turns out this only seems like it's a cartoon. It's not. It's just this fully formed universe that may as well be a cartoon.
Right. Yeah. So this was developed by Software Creations, which is a wonderful name for a company.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Oh, this makes sense. They did the Ripping Friends game for Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
But like around this time, where's Tin Star? Like the visual style is super. Oh, they did the Tick game.
They did all kinds of trash. This is the Spider-Man, X-Men, and Arcade's Revenge. People.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Rugrats, Time Travelers, you know, shit like that.
I've got to say, like, I don't hate this. Like, if I had a super scope and I had this, I would probably be disappointed because of how slight it is. More than anything. But like, outside of the title screen where you see the main character, a robot cowboy named Tin Star,
who somehow has acne. Isn't that weird?
Is that supposed to be stubble?
I think it's supposed to be like rivets, but it looks disgusting.
Yeah.
He looks like, it looks like he has a bad skin disease.
For all the world, the title screen of this, it might as well just be one of those hyper detailed close-up paintings from Ren and Stimpy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But like when it's actual, you know, game character size sprites or whatever, this actually looks kind of good.
It's like, very colorful.
This is a very charming game.
It's very Willy Beamish.
That's another good way to put it.
And the game itself is not awful or anything. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's a light gun game, but you can also use the mouse or the controller.
Right.
As kind of shooting galleries, like a third person or first person shooting gallery, where similar to Pac-Man 2, you have Tin Star on the screen. You're not controlling Tin Star. He's doing stuff. You're just protecting him from threats.
Yeah.
The thing that bugged me about this was the writing and story and cutscenes. Having weird null jokes. Aren't you gonna take off your hat? Well, I only take off my hat on Sundays. Well, you'll have to ride up on top with the luggage. What is that? what is that exchange? What the fuck was that?
What you doing there?
What were those words? What were you going for with that exchange? You know, what is that? I don't know.
what's this nonsense?
I didn't like it. And then also, it weirded me out that they're robots, but they also just have regular human faces and shapes, like cartoon faces and shapes. They don't look like robots.
So much so. Hey, Gary, I sent you a long play of this.
Okay.
I didn't give a report.
I have
this.
A long play up on my screen. Yeah. What timestamp am I looking for?
In this specific one, if you're in the world of long plays one, go to about 2630. That's what it is.
I'm a Nintendo complete man. Okay. Give me a second. I'll get there. 2630. Give me a moment. You monologue while I take care of this.
Yeah, I'll monologue about this while you're doing that. So you've got, there's the humanoid robots or whatever. During the interstitials, they've got little bonus games where you're shooting at stuff with, which is no different than anything else. But the bonus game, Gary, when you get there, let me know what you see. Yeah.
I did an earlier version of this with a slightly less sexy robot. this is a big titty, and I just keep saying robot. There's nothing robotic about this. It's just a weird mutant thing.
There's very little robotic about a female figure with breasts bigger than her head.
Booberella here. She's spinning around like a circus thing where you throw knives.
Yeah,
you know, a lady spinning around. Except her boobs are just really uncomfortable.
Oh, it's fetish art, and she's got
fetish art. She's her got weird the Escher back. Yeah,
the Escher back, the Liefeld spine thing going on.
Yeah,
tied to this rotating disc. Yeah, this is absolutely fetish shit.
Yeah, so these robots are having sex.
Yes,
they are. Whoever's building them are building them for daddy.
Yes,
yeah. Derogatory.
for daddy, comma derogatory.
Yeah, disparaging.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not bad. It's an interesting idea for a Super Scope game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a Super Scope?
We talk about Super Scope? No. We were a Konami Eliminator family.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Which I like. It was not until my adulthood that I played with a Super Scope at one of the conventions or whatever. I think you even like pointed out, said, "Hey, Super Scope." As a kid, that probably would have been really cool. In fact, I lusted after it from Nintendo Power and Game Pro and whatnot when it was relevant. But the thing about the Konami Eliminator is like that's just a big ass revolver. It's like a big ass blue revolver, which as an adult even is still really cool to hold. As a grown ass man, when I pick up when I pick up a Super Scope, I might as well be holding a Pringles can that has a cord sticking out of it.
I love how it's not made for adults. Yeah. Like as a kid, it was so cool, and I was a big kid, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's still, I could kind of fool myself into thinking I had a bazooka.
Yeah, you know? Just it's plausible. You would be able to take this thing, put it on your shoulder, and then get your head to it.
Yeah. Whereas as a fully sized adult,
you're holding it straight out in front of your face, like it's a blunderbuss.
They should put a handle on it so it can just be like a real like a Joker gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Eliminator definitely looks cooler than that. But no, I had a Super Scope as a kid. So
yeah,
didn't have that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I played a whole bunch of games with the Eliminator. The thing that I most remember, you know, we'd go over to my dad's house. He had an SNES copy of Lethal Enforcers, which is a terrible game, but any light gun game at home playing with your dad is going to be fun. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost any light gun game is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Boy, as a title for a game, Lethal Enforcer hasn't held up very well, has it?
It's not Eliminator, it's Konami Justifier. And no, that hasn't held up at all.
Me putting Konami Eliminator into Google brought me up a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yes.
So I figured it out.
I was thinking of the ZZ Top album.
Listen, they enforce and they do it lethally.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They will extrajudiciously slay you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Uh-huh. No, they have been given the power of the state to put you in the fucking ground.
They're the only people who can do it, and they can do it legally, and will get away with it.
Yeah.
Enforcers.
That's a hilarious game too, because like, you know, your ranks are like patrolman, detective, sergeant, but like the shit that you're doing, it like is riding down the highway, just shooting at cars, like just blasting suckas at the airport.
Grand Theft Auto shit.
There's nothing being cop about it. It's not like police trainer or whatever.
No, or APB or anything like police trainer. At least they're kind of training you, and then APB you would arrest people.
Yeah,
in the game. Even in SWAT you could arrest people.
Yeah,
you know, but Lethal Enforcers, no, you're just blasting.
No. no questions, no thoughts, just blast.
Yeah, just blast.
Yeah. Wow. The Justifier on the SNES, that only worked with Lethal Enforcers. That was the only one.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah, that is a terrible value proposition, but a cool object.
It's awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a blue revolver. It does look cool. Mm-hmm. Light gun games are so weird as a thing, because like we talked about this before, I think recently too. I get tired.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
With them, like I don't, call me a pussy or whatever, but I don't do trigger pulling motions that often.
No.
So those muscles are maybe underdeveloped.
Yeah, it is its own activity. I ran into this when we did whatever arcade special on WAF we did, where I chose Area 51.
Yeah.
Standing there playing a whole game of that. It definitely did leave my forearm sore. Not to mention, House of the Dead. Where you're shooting things multiple times.
Yeah, House of the Dead always gets me. It's a weird thing where typing of the dead is much more ergonomic. You know? and it made me, you know, that's a pretty good argument for replacing guns with typewriters in general.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, just ergonomics.
Mm-hmm. More than anything, really.
Yeah.
But you have to like type out the name of the person that you're trying to kill.
Yeah.
You know, it's a death note kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real Grant Morrison kind of thing. You type out their crime.
Yes.
You write your report and it kills them.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be cool. Super Scope. Super Scope had more creative, like a lot of creative games for it. You know, like I appreciate what they were trying with it too, you know?
Yeah.
But it is very limited in scope.
Yes. One of the things about the Super Scope that I liked is several of the games for it, you shot projectiles instead of hit scan.
Oh, I mean,
so you'd have to kind of lead targets.
The Yoshi game, most of all.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to like, kind of lead your target a little bit, and it had like a physicality to it. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like a light gun trick. You know, it didn't feel like a Duck Hunt.
Yes.
Which never really feels like you're shooting the thing. Duck Hunt just, it like distracts you with a loud noise and the bright flash. Mm-hmm. You know, like I like Duck Hunt just fine, but
yeah,
I, as an adult, the illusion's pretty shattered.
Here's the thing about Duck Hunt. Like Duck Hunt's good, you know, like it's it is what it is.
Well, it sounds but like you're saying Duck Hunt, like you're like you're one of the super fans. Like, the super fans serving themselves up some deep dish pussy. And
just, talking about Dicka.
Yeah, talking Dicka and Duck Hunt. Duck Hunt. Yeah.
The thing about Duck Hunt, now it just sounds like I'm saying it with emphasis.
I know. Duck Hunt. I know, it's great, right?
Yeah. For me, I don't know if these were ever shipped as different games, but the other side of that game where you shoot the waterfowl is Hogan's Alley.
Yeah.
That was way more fun to me because that had the you're shooting the can to keep it in the air game.
Yes.
You know?
Which and this game has as well, as Tin Star has as well.
Yeah. Then it also has shoot the bad guy, not the panicking lady kind of thing.
Yeah,
like that. Like that was more interesting to me than just like, hey, shoot this thing that flies in a pretty predictable pattern.
Yeah, Hogan's Alley is cool. Those original games are pretty fun. Agreed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I would like to go on a real Hogan's Alley, if that's even what that's called, the police training course kind of thing, where the pop-ups are, you know. In fact, that's all I hope anybody ever uses them for, is for recreation.
I'm very kind of surprised there isn't like an escape room style you know, go through Crime Alley or whatever.
It has to be an insurance nightmare to give people live rounds. It would have to be an airsoft thing.
I assume they wouldn't.
No, like, it has to be an insurance nightmare, ensuring that I don't go in there.
Yeah, live rounds. Yeah, the sneaking your own gun into the fake Hogan's Alley at Nintendo World is a different kind of thing. Yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, paintball or something.
Yeah.
You know, but I suppose you could use real bullets if you want to up the thrill.
There are lots of philosophies on this planet. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what you would use the super scope for in Lamborghini American Challenge.
Ooh, that's a good question. It just becomes a wrench. You just have to turn it on your shoulder to like clean up your Lamborghini.
So that's a question. You know more about the super scope than me. Was it doing anything more than just doing the white pixel check? Like, well, like were there other modes of interaction that it was checking for, or what?
I don't remember the technicals on it. Yeah. I just don't.
You were just pointing and shooting. There wasn't.
Yeah, okay. I was just a kid. Yeah. I'm looking at a playthrough of Lamborghini American Challenge, and it surely just looks like a racing game.
Yeah.
With an unusual number of umbrellas. The number of umbrellas on the course are absolutely, it's like that Christoph art exhibit. The American Challenge is trying to prevent many deaths from that umbrella art.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame about, like, you know, you do hundreds of installation pieces,
yep.
Kill one guy with your cartoon umbrella, and suddenly that is the first thing anybody can think of when your name comes up.
Yeah, your Simpsons episode gets pulled. I don't know what you do with a super scope in this. That's weird.
Yeah. So it says it supports the Super NES mouse and super scope. When the game is played with either accessory, the player can access a different game mode in which it is possible to destroy the opponent by shooting them.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Combat car shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blast. I'm down with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm into that. The common thread between this episode and the last episode is us wanting to make entertainment centers.
Yes, this is
like
true.
Like the shooting gallery thing. Do you want to start saving up our money and start that business?
I mean,
like just a dome where we have our year-round haunted house.
Okay.
That we can plan out. Golf RPG and indoor Hogan's Alley. We'll come up with a better name.
It would have to be out like around here. Like there's a lot of real cheap, there's a lot of real cheap industrial real estate around here that you could get. Yeah.
That'd be fine.
That'd be really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, have to be out here.
I wouldn't want to do it around here. You know, like Portland's not going to be great for that. Yeah. People would go to it, but it also only for so long, and it, we'd have to serve like nothing but IPAs and shit. like that, it sounds like a joke, but we would. Have to become, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that, like, I would go to that. This is me wish casting a thing I want to have exist.
Yeah.
But like the adult dome, you know, like just we can't work on a name, but just like it's all shit like that. Like it's like Meow Wolf, you know, it's like Omega Mart.
Yeah.
But instead of just being one destination in there, it's like several cool adult activities like that.
Yeah,
under one roof.
I've talked about this for years, wanting to do the adult play place or the adult the adult playground kind of deal.
That could be part of this too.
Yeah, I mean, like there's kind of something like that. So there's a my brother told me about this. I didn't know that there was a dead/dying mall in a town, a couple towns over from me called Marion. I never knew about it. But my brother said he took his daughter and my niece there, and they found like there's a used game store kind of thing and like a collectible store, and went over and checked it out, and it, you know, was real cool, right? Like actually like cool businesses with lots of people there, like they had magic cards set up. It was kind of a thing. Like I was actually really happy and surprised to see it.
A couple of dead malls around here have also had a cool resurgence because the real estate becomes cheap.
Mm-hmm. There are like in just what used to be an anchor store or like one of the larger stalls in that, they've just got kind of what we're talking about, but it is activities themed around like axe throwing, you know, which is the hotness.
The
white person sport, cornhole and ladder ball, those are played out. We can't get Coob to stick. So what about axe throwing? yeah. But I'm thinking post up in a you know, cheap real estate in a dead mall.
Yeah.
Get that set up. Set up our murder dome. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, axe throwing seems a little played out to me, but axe throwing with, RPG elements.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool. The one by our house, the dead mall, me and Liv this last weekend went, they set up a pop-up Museum of the History of Halloween Decorations.
Really?
Yeah.
And that sounds like that kind of thing
shows up there. It was
it good? Yeah.
Yeah. It was small. Like it was quaint, you know, but it had a lot of like vintage, cool, creepy Halloween decorations and a lot of, you know, you're loving it, Cole, like placards about the history of jack-o'-lanterns and shit.
Nice.
It was nice. It was real fun. And then on the way out, they just had a couple of like random things for sale. Because it was, you know, probably somebody who owned a thrift store or a booth at an antique mall who set this up.
Yeah.
And I bought a 3 VHS complete series tape of Kindred the Embraced, which was the 90s TV show based on Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, shit.
And if that is as scungy and shitty as I think it is, look out, Adaptation Decay.
Yeah.
Because that is an adaptation of a game. A 90s sexy vampire show based on Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, beat still my heart.
Yeah, it seems like the best possible thing. So I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, no, please do report back on that. I'm curious if that's even available outside. I'm sure there's a torrent of it somewhere. But.
Oh, I almost guarantee they're on YouTube. It's got huge like YouTube energy.
Yeah.
That mall is the same place that did open up that record store where I bought the Unicorn Kings. Those weird independent comics I talked about about a year ago.
Shit. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, huh. That mall is like getting a bunch of weird shit just because the real estate's cheap. Mm-hmm. It's really heartening.
Yeah, you love to see it. This dead mall a couple towns over that I'm talking about, they did something that I've never seen a dead mall do, which is just completely close off. Like most of it. So like the operative part of the mall currently is only like one quarter to one third of the mall. And I was walking this, cause I'll walk a mall. I see what it is. And then you just reach a point where there, it's just like Silent Hill. Hey, there's nothing beyond this.
Yeah.
kind of barrier. And it's like, it's only one leg of this mall that I get to see. Yeah, I've never seen them like amputate wings of the mall so that the remaining trunk can thrive.
They did that at the other dead mall, the Mall 205, which used to have the All-American Magic Show before the All-American Magic Show moved to this mall I'm talking about now. They did that. And then eventually they just killed the whole mall. So now it's just two anchor stores. It's just a Target on one side and Home Depot. that was connected on the other side, but the entire middle mall part is closed down.
Okay.
It's real weird. It's like a Target with a big hallway you can't use that goes to a whole Home Depot.
Yeah.
You can see it, but you can't use it.
The deadest I ever saw a mall get was down in Cincinnati. It was the Cincinnati Mills Mall, where, again, went there with my brother just to see a dead mall. And we figured we'd go in through the one operating anchor store, which was like a, it was like a Bass Pro Shop or a Cabela's or something like that. Mm-hmm. You go there, you look at some tents or whatever. And it's something to look at, right? And we're like, okay, well, let's, you know, go see the rest of the mall. And we went to what used to be like the entrance, you know, the interior entrance, and it was just sealed off. It was just glass. Yeah. Like, no, you can't go that way.
Love it.
We had to go back outside and around and then into the entrance for the mall itself.
A mall for the Duckfeed complex that contains all these adult entertainment zones, including, you know, the Midwest largest free play sex dungeon. I'm assuming because it's an adult entertainment zone. Like, we should probably all the horny millennials and stuff. A mall is a good place for it.
Now,
it is asking for trouble. Like, big glass doors, like... It is that, you know, those Kane and Rince guys are going to come and throw a Molotov cocktail through the window and shut us down for good.
They're going to hop on a plane. Transatlantic flight.
Too right.
To smash.
Yeah. They would never do that.
No, no. They're
cool. Lovely.
Can I drain my spleen on this here?
Yeah, drain the spleen. Real quick.
Yeah. You mentioned the, you know, the history of Halloween decorations.
Yes.
I gotta get out here. You know, if people want to assume that I'm a snob about this, then go ahead, fine. But man, Halloween directions have fallen off, or directions, Halloween decorations have fallen off.
Okay.
Actually.
Speak on that.
I'm speaking about this from a very suburban kind of point of view here, you know, where to a lot of people around where I live, you know, and even like, you know, like out in the country or country roads or whatever, Halloween decoration is entirely in buying big inflatable display things and then putting them on the lawn. Maybe you get one of the 13-foot skeletons from Home Depot or the ripoffs of those. Sometimes there's one display on the way to the main highway near me that has they've got a bunch of those in their setup. It's two big ones in OSU jerseys holding a smaller one in a Michigan jersey upside down by the ankles. You know, just getting some of those college rivalry.
I kind of like the idea of the skeletons doing it, and them also their you know, prowess at football being represented by them being 12 feet tall.
Yep.
I kind of like that.
Of course you're gonna win.
Good job. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
You're two
your
times
stride.
You
got a 10-yard stride. You got a first down stride, dude. Of course you're gonna win. Like,
and there are two of you. There's only one of him. Yeah. If anything, I'm rooting for the underdog here.
I guess the little guy's gonna be nimble. You know, he might be able to go under your legs like a Dark Souls boss and score goals that way. But
yeah. But like the Halloween decoration never goes as far as the house itself. It's literally just, we're going to put this inflatable thing on the lawn and call it a day. I don't do any decoration for Halloween. I don't decorate my house at all. You know, it's just, I spend my money and time doing other things. Right.
Good to get that out there. Because you are throwing stones.
I am throwing stones, but like just putting up the big inflatable seems to me to be throwing away a certain responsibility for design. Like, I don't know. You should, if you're going to decorate for Halloween, you should make your house look like one of the bad houses from a Paperboy Street.
Yeah. I largely agree with you. There are still some really good tableaus around here. Okay. And I have gone and looked at Halloween decorations.
Okay, like some people do with Christmas decorations, right? We're gonna go drive and see
a little bit
of
that, but I mean, we've also gone to stores and stuff and looked in and seen what's available, and the actual like technology and stuff for every one of those like shitty inflatables, there are absolutely mind-blowing animatronics now.
Yes, yeah,
I've seen some just totally killer gigantic Grim Reapers that like predict the date of your death and shit like that. Like they're great. But I think that what I will agree with you with is not liking those inflatable things whatsoever. And that is a huge cop out. They also, Andrew, who plays guitar in my band, has a Thanksgiving one. It's a big turkey a big, okay, ugly, hideous, like angry looking turkey.
Cool.
That's pretty funny. They put out, but every year it becomes this absolute nightmare factory for mosquitoes. It becomes like a habitat.
Well, yeah, because it, like, you know, tons of places for the water to pool and get stagnant.
Yeah, it just becomes like you can't really approach it. Mm-hmm. It becomes this weird hazard zone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That you know you can't get near because of that. So they're ugly. They're pretty easy, and also they spread malaria.
I see no upsides to this.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Those things fucking suck.
Yeah.
So
there's a house at the end of my street that just, it's fucking wild. Everything they have up, they have the smallest front yard, but it is absolutely choked mm-hmm. with decorations for whatever season is there. Mm-hmm. I'm talking just, I mean, like no room to walk. Right.
Okay.
They always, every Christmas they fill the tree with bright blue lights. Like Christmas lights, you know, kind
like
of hazard,
like blinding.
Yeah, like to the point where if it is like snowing or foggy, it actually becomes disorienting.
Okay.
I would fucking hate to be their neighbor, to live right next to them with that. And to top it all off, they've got a big flag flying in front of their house all the time that says God, guns, Trump.
Okay. I liked it up until that point. I kind of respect anything you can do instead of a yard.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, oh, there's grass. There's grass.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess they're killing it though with inflatable things.
Maybe.
I just the idea of, you know, I've always hated yards, and then now mm-hmm. that the whole world is like these are wasteful messes, I feel very vindicated.
The world's come around, you know, your position. Yeah.
Yes, it feels good. Somebody mm-hmm. didn't like golf courses, didn't like yards. Yeah. It feels good mm-hmm. there, but I don't like, you know, that flag really sinks it for me.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is good in an advancement Halloween decorations is that retro decorations, like we went and saw the history of those, but they're real in right now. We have out in front of our house a bunch of recreations.
Of okay. them.
So they're just, you know, they're made with modern materials. They're not vintage or cool or what have you, mm-hmm. but they're weatherproof little plastic signs that have the awesome look of old Halloween decorations. So like you've probably seen that cat, the cat in the top hat, who looks like a real fucking stinker. You know, there's a really good Halloween cat decoration that, like, let me see if I can find it for you. Vintage. This isn't exactly him, but this is very similar.
Okay.
Let me put this here in the Slack.
Yeah, I'm seeing lots of like scared cats with their like backs arched kind of thing.
Yeah, which is all well and fine, but this guy, this manic fellow here, a lot of that like shit.
Wearing a witch hat.
Yeah, like it's just like here's the actual one. Okay, here's the official one that we have.
Yeah. This first one has a witch hat that somehow buckles like a pilgrim's hat. I don't like when they mix them up like that. Look at that little guy.
Yeah, look at this guy.
Look at him.
He's great. He's got a monocle and a top hat or a little bowler. He looks handsome.
Big old bow tie. Yeah.
Yeah. Handsome man in a pork pie hat. Mm-hmm. And then big Dracula fangs. Like he's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
He's a really, really great black cat. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of this shit now. If you go to, we have an independent party supply store in Portland called Lippmann's.
Okay. That's
really great. And it's fun to go in Halloween, and we bought all of our stuff from them, and it's all reproductions of this kind of stuff.
Nice.
You know, so I think good. There's like a like touch that. Of class you can get now. It's just the inflatables are the reverse of that.
Yes.
No class.
Yeah. I think I'm coming out. I'm coming out against inflatables.
Yeah.
They seem antithetical to the diorama that you want to get.
Yes.
Like it does not seem like you can set up a scene with it. I'm not even mad at the, you know, the trendy 12-foot skeleton kind of thing.
I can't dislike the 12-foot skeleton.
I really can't dislike them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're trendy, but like, come on.
There's one of them that I will stand behind disliking, which is the new one, the Jack Skellington one, because I can't get behind. Can't get behind Nightmare Before Christmas.
I hate Nightmare
most
Before
boring
Christmas.
Shit in the imagine.
It's most incredibly shit fucking imaginable. Boring. Yeah. It's a really, really boring show. It's also like not. Fuck it. I had a whole thing. I was going to go into it. And I realized I was also thinking of Corpse Bride, which also pisses me off. Both those movies fucking suck. But yeah, I can't get into the Jack Skellington one. I've also seen ones that have a pumpkin head, and I'm fine with the pumpkin head, but the bones are orange, and that feels weird to me.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Like a skeleton where you put a pumpkin on its head. Hey, go with God. Like, you know, that's between you and your partner. That I, it's got nothing to do with me. But making the bones orange, it's just, what are we even dealing with here?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Did you carve the whole thing out of a bigger skeleton? This is
you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous is what it is.
Yeah. Dislike. So I don't know. Big dislike. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You'll hear this in the future, but or I was being the first to wish them a happy Halloween 2024.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I'm first.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's a time will tell. I can't believe October is already gone.
I know, man.
What should they do, Cole?
Well, if they like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv at $5 per month. You get 2 bonus episodes per month, which is cool. And along with a bunch of other stuff too, whole other shows like Unfilmable, Bonfireside Chat, our upcoming show. Real Lich Hours, talking about spooky stuff. Not talking about Baldur's Gate, but liches are spooky.
Yeah, spooky. There's spooky stuff that happens in that game.
Spooky and aspirational. Yes. Yeah. At the $25 level, you can demand a game if you would like to.
Yes.
Line's short. Yeah.
Line is short. You can also join us in marking your calendar the first weekend in December for Duckstream. Mm-hmm.
Duckstream, yeah. December the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, he says, hoping.
I think December 1st is the first day of Duckstream.
Yes.
I think that's the Friday.
I believe you're correct.
It's the earliest we've done it in December.
Yes.
But it just worked out that way.
Yep. The evening of December 1st through the evening of December the 3rd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 48 hours streaming to benefit the Transactive Gender Project out of
Lewis and Clark College.
Lewis and Clark. There we go. Yes. Lewis and Clark College. Organization that provides resources and education to trans youth, their families, and their communities.
Yeah. It's a great organization. Our charity partner for almost a decade now. Mm-hmm. We love them. And we love doing it. It's going to be very fun. We're working on the planning stuff now in terms of actual programming. Keep an eye out for announcements, but it will be a blast. I'm 90% sure Gwen's going to join us again this year.
Nice.
On West Coast Duckstream. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And it should be real fun.
Cool.
So
speaking of Gwen, thank you, Gwen, our producer.
Thanks to Gwen. Yeah. What should they do until next time?
Until next time, put out a feeler for more outros. That's for me. That's not for
that
you.
Is for you. Yeah, I don't know what it, this is not me flexing a dick. You know, I'll never flex a dick.
Okay.
My call for intros, I have like 140 of them. I have many of them. I don't know, where are you putting them?
Is this in the show or is this not in the show?
I don't know. I just want you to get more outros so you don't have to do this as often. I feel like right? for you, man.
I put them on Patreon. I put it on Twitter, Blue Sky, Slack, all that.
I don't know. Yeah. I just,
All right.
All right. Well, sorry about that.